Booze and books may contain boozy language and themes. Listener discretion is advised.
Hey guys, Lindsay and Kristen are back with Booze and Books podcast. This time we are in Arizona.
Yay!
We're both slightly tanned and burnt.
Yes.
Maybe a little bit more tanned now, not so much burnt, but yeah, you never know. We're going to do it outside, but we got moved in because there is a storm coming our way, we think. Hopefully it passes over.
Yeah.
But who knows? That's what you get when you wait to do this till the afternoon.
Yes.
So this time we went back to our, not really, like more of our staple genre of thriller, like psychological thrillers. And we decided to do Someone We Know by Sherry LaPina. I believe she's a Canadian author.
Yeah.
And yeah, she's written a couple other books. I have not read any of the other ones. I think Lindsay has.
I have, and I really like her as a thriller writer.
We'll get more into it later, but this one's definitely like got a lot of layers to it, that's for sure.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting. And the wine we're drinking this time is one called Josh. So obviously that episode's going to be Josh, Someone We Know. Or, yeah, no, that's going to be it. So, you know, we really tried hard. Total Wines threw us off. It was really complicated in there. I didn't understand it. We thought it was like going to be like super simple going in there, getting a wine, and it was not.
A little bit harder than we thought.
Yeah. They go by type of wine, not countries, which
yeah.
really makes it hard when you're actually trying to find a title.
Right.
That works with the book. So we literally saw it and we went with it. We're drinking a red blend, a Pinot Noir, and a rosé.
Yes.
We'll get more into the wine a little bit. Well, in a little bit. Really, it's not that far off. But we want to do our normal thing where we say a quick note about how to find us. So you can follow us on Instagram at boozeandbooks.podcast, where we try and obviously tell you what books we're reading for that upcoming episode, for that month. We always try and make sure that we show you what books we're currently reading. We're actually not really great at that one because we read a lot more than I think we post about, but we just forget sometimes. And we definitely will show you what booze and stuff we're drinking for the most part, not all the time. Otherwise, you'd think we're alcoholics. So, we're going to... But, yeah, like I said, always try and follow us on boozeandbooks.podcast. You can always email us, too, at...
I forgot our email. Boozeandbooks at gmail.com. And it's spelled BOOKSANDBOOZE at gmail.com. Nope.
Yeah.
No, I did books before booze. It's not that. It's booze and books. BOOZE@gmail.com.
Even though she made that mess up way better than me.
That's it. Yes.
But yeah. So like I said, this episode is called Josh, Someone We Know. And it's episode 15, and we're going to get into the wine.
Oh, yeah.
So, Lindsay, you want to start us off?
So, I'm drinking the rosé. It is medium in color, I would say. Definitely not lighter. Kind of almost like an apricot, dark apricot color. The back of the bottle says, my father's name was Joseph, but his friends just called him Josh. Rosé has always been one of my favorite wines to enjoy outdoors on a warm, sunny day. To me, Josh Sellers Rosé is a sunshine in a bottle. The grapes for this wine were sourced from distinct California vineyard sites. As we searched for high-quality fruit to craft a flavorful, elegant rosé, we selected a unique blend of grapes known to make bright, crisp rosés with delicate strawberry and raspberry flavors, a soft texture, and a long, juicy finish. I made this wine as a tribute to Josh, a man I simply called Dad. It is not super sweet, more on the dry side. Really, really sour though. So I would say you do taste some of the strawberry, but not like sweet notes of strawberry. When you smell it, you smell very light strawberry, more of the raspberry. What else? Let's see. It's really sour. But what I like about it is it's not sweet. So I like that it's not super fruity, even though I feel like they're going for a little bit more of a fruity finish, like you said. But I personally like that it's more on the dry side. I just wish it wasn't as sour as it is. But maybe that bite will go away after a couple glasses.
Probably.
Yeah.
Well, you hope. I'm drinking the red blend, and the back of it says, okay, the first part is the same as what's on Lindsay's, but he said that he made the red blend from his favorite Californian grape varieties in a celebration of great dads everywhere. It's big and vibrant, but always approachable, just like a dad is. What better way to honor his legacy than to share with you? So that's okay. I'll send a bundle. but it's a little dark in here, so it's kind of hard to tell. Here, let me just put my flash on. I think it's pretty dark. Like, again, like I said, it's like a ruby when you shine the light on it. But it's definitely dark red blend, for sure. It actually tastes pretty red blendy. That's a thing.
It is.
It's pretty smooth. Smells super good. And it smells a little, so it smells a little jammy, I think. I'm getting that. My nose is broken, I think.
Broken.
I'm trying to think what it smells like, but all I'm thinking is how good it smells.
Oh, that's good.
Maybe plum.
Ooh. Did it not say there was hints?
No. Didn't tell me what was in it. But I think most of these are usually got Merlot in it.
Yeah, that's true.
And cabs. Maybe strawberry? I don't know. You try. It's good. I recommend it.
Oh, it just smells jammy.
Yeah, it does.
It smells a bit of strawberry.
The last taste took more of a superficial taste, and that's where I got more of the strawberry. The deeper taste is where I got more of the plummy flavor to it. I don't know if you...
The initial taste I get is strawberry.
Yeah.
It's sweet.
A little bit.
It's nice.
Not bad. Yeah. I recommend it.
Yeah,
it's
a good one.
$17, $18 at Total Wines, I think.
U.S.
U.S. too. And this is also... Where is it from?
They're Californian. No, I lied. Well, he got these ones from California.
These back of the bottles California. Are not great.
It is California? California, yeah.
I thought this one said Oregon.
Weird.
Mine says yeah. California. This does. So we also have the Pinot Noir. And this will be the Reserve, the Family Reserve wine. And it actually says that it's the Oregon Family Reserve Pinot. So this actually really doesn't tell us where. This one says Oregon on it.
That's weird. Mine says California.
Mine also says California. So
just that one.
Sounds like it's just, yeah. They must have grapevines up in the Oregon area that they like get some of their wine, like yeah. grapes from. Excuse me. Okay, let me try yours. I don't really smell anything.
Because there's ice in it.
Maybe apricot? No. I don't smell anything. Not the best rosé I've had. Strawberry?
Yeah, they said strawberry raspberry.
I don't smell them. I taste the raspberry now. Yeah, I don't know. Definitely not my fave. Yeah, I get the sourness, but I guess that makes sense if you have strawberry and raspberry in it.
Yeah.
Especially like the raspberry. Raspberry always has like a little bit of a hint of a sourness to it. Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, okay. Well, the other one drinking it. So, as long as you're okay with it. We'll see as we continue on. So, moving on to, you know, the favorite thing that we like to talk about, the book.
Yeah.
Well, to be honest, we like to talk about the wine too. These ones are just harder to talk about because it's kind of, they're not our favorites because, so, obviously you can tell because we're not talking a lot about them, but there's not much to say about these. They're
no, they're like
6-7 ratings, maybe your last mine's like years.
Six, honestly.
Mine's more of a 7.
I don't think I'd buy it again.
Like, I had Decoy Bread Blend while we were down here, and I like that more than this, but I'm not going to knock this one.
No, the Red Blend's good. I would drink that again. I just wouldn't have the rosé again.
Yeah, yours is different.
It's just sour.
Oh, and it is raining now.
Yay.
It's coming down hard.
Oh.
Like, it's a good thing we moved in here.
Yeah, oh my gosh.
Because you guys would be hearing a lot of shit.
Yeah.
It sounds like it's somewhat trying to thunder, but not really. No, that's just wind.
Holy cow.
Holy shit. It's like hurt. Dumping on it. Thank God we are not outside. Okay, totally got distracted.
Yep.
Sorry.
Okay. By the rain.
It's crazy here. Is it hailing?
No, it looks, I was going to say, imagine hail, no. But it's rain.
Yeah, never mind. Oh, poor birdie. Okay, sorry, again. Focusing now. Book. Someone We Know by Sherry Lapina. Let's go with first overall impression.
I liked it. Very similar in like likes to her other two books that I've read. Mm-hmm. Kept me guessing for sure. There's a lot of characters, point of views, and at first it seemed a little overwhelming, But I actually really liked that we got a lot of different character, like, firsthand accounts. Yeah, like, personally, I quite liked it. I enjoyed it. I didn't see the twist coming, so that's always a good thing.
Yeah, like, I agree. When I first started reading the book, I was, like, thrown off by just how many different points of view we were getting, because we got, like, what? Robert Pierce, Olivia, her son, oh, yeah. her husband, Glenda, Carmen, or whatever her name is. At one point, we got Larry, we got Becca,
the two or cops. Becky,
the two cops. That's 10 right now. We got
Raleigh, Adam.
Who?
Raleigh, the son. Olivia's son.
I got that one. Oh. We got Alex at one point. We got Keith momentarily. 12 people, roughly. Yeah. Give or take, in case I accidentally said one person twice. But we got, like, 12 different points of view. I always find, like, I get where the author was coming from with it. Because, like, in the end, I agree. You want them because it kind of, like, she really wrapped every, like. So she gave you all these different characters and you're like, why the fuck is she talking about these? And then you're like, there's so many different storylines. You're like, do I need to keep notes? Right. And then you're just like, holy shit. And then you're kind of like, okay, she's hiding the twist.
Yeah.
It's one of those books, which I like. I don't, like, as much as thrillers go, like, it's nice to kind of be like, okay, I predict this person's who did it.
Yeah.
And then, like, you're right.
Yeah, right?
Especially when you're, like, reading it with someone and, like, they have a completely different opinion. But this one, honestly, until the very, very end, I did not guess it correctly.
Same.
And that's a rarity I find with these kind of books. Like, usually you can be like, okay, she did it.
Well, yeah, sometimes, yeah.
And then sometimes, like, especially with the ones lately I feel like we've read, you can kind of guess who did it.
Really? I find, like, the last few that we've read have been, like, not necessarily so straightforward.
No?
No.
I don't remember some of them.
Me neither, but that's how I remember feeling.
I thought you could at least kind of predict more, at least, in this one. Yeah. This one was a little bit...
Oh, yeah, it totally was.
...out there, but I quite liked it. I had to take a couple of days to think about it, because I was like, I don't know if I loved it or if I just liked it.
And what did you decide?
I loved, liked it.
Okay.
In between those two.
Okay.
Because I liked the fact that I couldn't guess who it was.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't say I overly loved the book itself.
It wasn't my favorite thriller, but...
I liked the storyline, where it was going, what happened.
I would say...
I give it an 8.
Yeah. 10. I liked... Her Couple Next Door was my favorite, and then... Sorry, I forget the other one. Give me 2 seconds.
Couple Next Door.
A Stranger in the House was my second, and then this would have been my third of the three I've read. It was still good, but those two I really, really liked. She's just really good at keeping you guessing.
I need to borrow those books. I've not read those, and
they're really... Couple Next Door is, like, amazing.
Yeah, and, like, I initially started this trip down here with my family because we went down to see the Rolling Stones in Phoenix. And my mom and I, of course, went and got books, because how can you not be down here and not get books? And I actually got her to get one of her other books that she wrote. I think I told her to get... sorry, give me a second. I can't remember what it was called. I think Stranger in the House. I think that's the one that I got my mom to get.
Yeah, that's...
I think so.
That's the original cover.
Yeah, that's not the cover. Yeah, I think that must be it.
Mm-hmm.
We're gonna go with that. If I'm wrong, then I'm sorry. But... I'll go with that, because I think that's what she actually got, because it was something about someone in this woman's house, so that makes sense. But, yeah, so I'm excited for my mom to read that, and then
I'll read it after her because I'll let her read it first. But I'm excited to read it because I want to see what other styles she's got going on.
Yeah.
Especially with... They might be the same kind of genre and everything, but the... Obviously, the storyline's different, so yeah. It'll be nice to see what she's got going. I had a point to this. Yeah, I totally lost my point. Yep, totally lost it. But, yeah. She seems like a really good writer. I did not realize she was Canadian until I was, like, actually posting on the Instagram page that she was here. Also, shout out to my brother. He was very excited to be part of our Instagram post. Because he thought it'd be cool to be the someone, I'm using quotes right now, that we know in the background, in the pool. So, thanks, bro. Love you. He's not going to listen to this, but still.
That's okay. Shout out.
Who is your favorite character, since there was, 12?
That's a hard one. I think... Shoot. I think Raleigh was my favorite character. I don't know why. I think he was just like very like interesting in that he wanted to break into people's houses just to hack into their computers just for fun. And I was like, that's a very strange like psychological thing for him to want to do, but it played a pivotal point in the book. And I think, like, for him to break into his, like, friend's home as well, next door, was really interesting. Like, he really just was just a normal kid who just had these, like, urges to just commit these hacks and not really do much else with them. And he ended up kind of unraveling, like, a series of a lot of it. So, I don't know why. I think he was just the most interesting.
I agree. He was really super interesting. Like, I really enjoyed his character, especially since he was, like, the way his mom described him at the beginning of the book. She's like, it's 2:00 in the afternoon. Like, he's a teenager. Let him sleep. But also, it's 2:00 in the afternoon. He should get up.
Yeah.
So she, like, gets him up and spirals from there. But I liked how she was, like, how he's, like, your typical teenager, but also since now we know that he literally was sneaking into people's houses to hack.
Yeah.
That's why he was sleeping probably way later than he probably would have. I don't know if he was my favorite character. I'd say Olivia was, but not really Olivia. I don't know who's my favorite character.
Like, she was kind of the other most interesting.
I think she was, like, more of, like, I guess, your standard mom character.
Yeah.
With the whole thing. And, like, being, I don't know, like, super, she wants to be there for her kid, but she doesn't know how to. And then she does some stupid stuff. And then she realizes, shit, I did that.
Oh, yeah.
She's a complex... Okay, I don't know. I'd say her and... I think her whole family are my favorites. Just because you're introduced to them first. Mm-hmm. Maybe not so much the husband, but her and her son, I think, are my favorite characters. Because you're introduced to them first. You get to know them more.
Yeah.
I think. So I'll go with those two because I can't choose between the two.
That's fair.
But who's your least favorite character? I feel like it's... Possibly the same one?
Mine, I think, was... I don't know. I hate all the, like, husbands, honestly.
The one I hated the most, because, okay, all the husbands suck balls, because, who does that?
Two of them cheated, and one was kind of just, like, I don't know, he just seemed pissed off all the time, and then fucking Pierce...
Was like, just psycho.
Yeah. Even though he didn't, spoiler alert, kill Amanda, you think he did the whole time.
I hate Carmine. That's her name. Carmen?
Carmen.
Is her name pronounced Carmen?
Yeah. Oh, that's weird that it's spelled that way.
Okay, Carmen. Did not think that's how it was spelled or pronounced, but okay. I hated Carmen.
Yeah.
She's my least favorite character. I was like, why are you in part of this storyline?
Just her going around.
I hate the guys because, well, they cheated. Paul, the husband's was my favorite, obviously, because he didn't cheat. But obviously, the other guys are like creepy, but I just did not like Carmen's character.
Yeah.
And I was like, why? Why are you going around the neighborhood?
She was just
telling everyone that you got broken into and having them read your letter and all this stuff.
Yeah. Like, it just seemed unnecessary.
If you have that big of an issue, go to the fucking police.
Yeah. Right?
Otherwise, let bygones be bygones at this point. Yeah. Which is technically what Pierce did, but Pierce had his own shit behind the reason why he let him go. Because, you know.
Did they ever find that phone? No.
The one that he hid?
Mm-hmm.
He thinks that Becky, right? Becky. Becky?
Yeah.
Wife. He thinks Becky took it.
Oh, but he doesn't want the police to read it, like he says at the end.
Yeah, because he said he said that his wife was smarter than he gave her credit for, and she got more, she got information or something along those lines, obviously information, on him, I believe.
Oh.
Which is why I think there's a second book.
Yeah.
Because it literally ends with him going in the garden to grab that burner phone that he buried and was like gonna go drive hours north to dispose of it, and then he couldn't find it, and then he was like, well, the only person that can really see in this backyard is Becky.
Oh, right.
And he's like, I'm gonna kill her.
Yikes.
And because he needed the information that his wife took on that phone, because it wasn't just her sex affair phone, it was also like information gathering phone on, assuming him, because apparently he's a psychopath in its own right. So it's kind of like
interesting.
Yeah. So I think / hope that there's a second book, but the second book, I hope there's not as many characters, because when you do start the book off, you're like, I don't even know who all these people are.
Yeah.
Then you have, I guess you have a minor character, Zoe, but she doesn't know. Neighbors.
Yeah.
But she doesn't really have her own dialogue, but she is brought up more than the other neighbors.
She's the one that finds Carmen's body.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, she's pretty minor.
Pretty minor, but she, spoiler alert, connects Glenda to Carmen's murder.
Oh, right.
Which, okay. I think Glenda was a little paranoid.
I think so, too.
Because they never touched on this. Like, she never touched on it. But, like, unless it's paranoia, it's like, how did anything that we've read in the book indicate to Carmen that Glenda and her son were involved with Amanda's murder? It's like, where? Yeah,
there was no, like...
There's no connection. So it's like, unless it was pure paranoia of, like, this lady going around and, like, kind of discover, like, figuring shit out and saying that she, like, figured it was Olivia that was the mother that wrote the letter and all that shit.
The only reason I think maybe she did is because, remember, she goes to Adam's house, Glenda's house, and Adam answers the door. Maybe she thought then, like, oh, shit.
But it was because But that was because Adam and her saw each other when he was drunk one night. I thought that Carmen told her that.
She didn't.
No?
No.
Oh. Maybe then? But, like, Alex and her knew the sitch. So, maybe. That would be the only possibility to build on this paranoia. Otherwise, literally, there was no reason to do it. At all.
Yeah.
Made no sense. There's no reason for it, except for the fact that Carmen was just annoying, and like she was like, "I'm gonna kill you."
Yeah. That was kind of just like not specified.
Yeah, it was just unnecessary. Well, that was kind of funny because at the end, the cops were telling her, like Glenda, like, your son confessed, but since he's 16, he's probably going to go to, and it was not premeditated murder. He's probably only going to go to jail for like, well, juvie for 2 years. If that, probably not like super much more than that. But then they're like, she like looks so really, or sounded like described to be like so relieved. But then they're like, but you're going to jail for a lot longer. It's like, dude, like you did kill another woman. Yeah. Probably premeditated.
Yeah.
And then you helped your son clean up a murder scene. And we got thunder. Mm-hmm. And I saw lightning. Up that way. We'll see how this night ends for us.
Yeah.
It's kind of fitting, I guess. We're talking about a psychological thriller with murder. Yeah. And we need
some lightning and thunder. Got
lightning and thunder going. It stopped raining from the looks of it.
It's very lightly now.
Maybe lightly. But it's not dark, though.
It's over there.
Yeah, it's more on the right.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I don't know. I like... We can talk about it. Okay, let's talk about the men in this. Like, more the husbands.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Okay, so Lindsay and I were talking about this before we started the recording. Well, not specifically today, but, like, we talked about yesterday?
Yeah. Day before.
2 days ago, when she finished the book, about the men, and, like, she was reading, like, she was almost done the book, so I was like, well, who do you think killed her, like, Amanda and, like, all this stuff, and she... Who did you think? You said Paul, right?
Well,
it was between a couple of people. Because, like, honestly, you kind of have to have a couple of people in mind.
I thought it was Pierce for the longest time, just the way it was. But I thought it was going to be Larry, for sure, had the affair. And then I thought maybe they made it seem like there was a second person. And then I was like, well, maybe it's Paul. And then did not think it was going to be Becky's husband. What's his name?
Keith. But technically at the point when I asked you, Raleigh. He didn't admit to his parents yet that he was on there.
Yeah.
Peter. I feel like that's like the biggest breakthrough in like the book.
Yeah. But
it was kind of funny because like she told me that production. I was like, okay. I was like, I thought it was Robert Pierce because, like, who wouldn't in this book? It's one of the people that's leading. And then Larry, mainly because he claimed that he fell asleep in his hotel room.
Mm.
Possibly true.
Right.
But do you really know? Right? And he had an affair with her. I did not think it was Paul, though, because... of the way he described the fact that he told his wife, I have never cheated on you. And like that entire scenario kind of made me be like, I don't think that he did. Not saying that he probably wouldn't and couldn't have, but.
You just felt like he was being honest.
Yeah. I felt like he was like one of those actual guys that wouldn't have cheated on his wife.
Yeah. So. Yeah.
I was like, okay, I believe in you, Paul. And even when they found out that their cabin was used as the crime scene, mm-hmm. I still did not believe it was him.
That's when I started to think it wasn't him. I was like, that's too on the nose.
Yeah, it was too, like you said, on the nose of what was happening, the fact that it was his property. And then he came out with saying, well, people knew.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they kind of fucked their son over.
Yeah.
But he also fucked himself over by doing it in the beginning.
Well, yeah.
But it's kind of like they took all their fingerprints and then they found out that he was the one that was trespassed into Robert Pierce's place.
Yeah, that's true.
But I don't know. I think it's kind of funny when you hear about people that cheat on each other. When one person confesses, they're like, oh my word, like, are you fucking kidding me? And they're so offended.
Yeah.
And then the other person, and then they're like, well, I know you cheated on me. And then they're like, oh shit.
Yeah, yeah.
And then both of them are like, okay, yes, I did cheat and all this stuff. And it's kind of, I find it funny just for the fact that, like, the one person is, like, offended by the fact that the other, well, both of them are offended with each other for cheating on each other. But the one that confesses first is always, like, got the anguish of the other person initially being like, how dare you?
Right?
And then it comes out. And I thought it was like, funny with Becky and, like, Larry had their, like, affairs come out in front of each other. And she was like, fine, I'll just tell them kind of thing. And she's like, I had an affair. And he got so offended. And then, like, the cops were, like, saying about his affair. Yeah. And then she was like, are you shitting me?
That's even worse.
I was like, I thought it was really funny in that moment because I was like, okay.
Yeah, fair. Right?
One, you're doing this in front of the cops, well, detectives and all this shit. And two, they basically blew up his spot.
Yeah.
By being like, well, you also cheated, so you can't say shit. So I thought that was entertaining.
That's fair.
And you find that, like, either, I think it's kind of funny when, it's sad when one couple has one person cheat on the other one, but the other one doesn't cheat on them.
Yeah.
But then I find it kind of more funny in a way when the couple cheats on each other.
Yeah, but that's super indication maybe you guys shouldn't be together.
Exactly, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, her kids are out. He travels all the time. Yeah. It's kind of like,
cut your losses.
Cut your losses at that point.
Yeah.
Well, obviously, like, it would be fine if he traveled and they had a great relationship, but she could have traveled with him. My one friend's mom sometimes travels with her husband on his business trips.
Oh, totally.
Because it's like, you can go do whatever while you're out and about, right?
I would absolutely do that.
But she didn't, so hey, they cheated on each other.
Exactly.
And you kind of wonder what she looked like, because everyone was like, why would he choose her to cheat? Like, Robert Pierce?
Yeah.
Why would he choose her specifically to cheat on?
Yeah. But we know why now.
We know why now, but yeah, you kind of wonder what she looks like.
Yeah.
I wonder what they all look like.
Right? There's a lot happening here.
I know. It's still raining. There's sun.
Sun showers.
And it's dark in the other half.
Yeah.
So, we really don't know what the fuck's going on weather-wise. But, I don't know.
What else? There's a lot of...
Raphael.
You mean Raleigh?
Raleigh. Is that how you say his name?
Yeah,
how's it spelled? I'm going to show you how it's spelled. Because obviously, people, if you've not gathered, we... One read and one listened.
Oh, we're getting, like, the full storm.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. It's going to be a while, fam.
Okay. We may make more of a comment on what's going on. Why don't I just go at the beginning of the book?
It's 100% chance of rain. Good, because it's already raining.
Raleigh. Yeah, Raleigh. So it's spelled R-A-L-E-I-G-H. And you gotta be fucking kidding me. So this is the third time I will be putting up the blinds outside. Like, come on, people.
Come on.
But yeah, I did not expect it to be that way.
What?
Maybe I just didn't expect it to, like, I don't know. I just didn't expect that. It's pronounced.
Oh, I expected it to be spelled like that.
Because when you kept saying Raleigh, I just literally thought of R-A-L-L-Y.
Oh, like Raleigh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Huh?
Raleigh. Raleigh, North Carolina.
It's a really fucking weird name. My opinion, if you all have a different opinion on it, I don't want to hear it. No, seriously, you can tell me your opinion. But yeah, it's different. Like, this is again different. Like, because Carmine is C-A-R-M-I-N-E.
Yeah, it's almost like Carmine, but in the audiobook, they say Carmine.
Which, when you're reading it, you're like, is it actually going like, yeah, Carmine?
Mm-hmm.
Or you're like, is this pronounced like a different way?
Yeah, that's weird.
It's always different. You don't really know.
I think Carmine's usually a male name, though, so that's why that's super weird.
Yeah, I didn't expect her to be as old.
Oh, yeah.
Honestly, to be honest. But, I don't know, I thought, to kind of roundabout back to her, I thought it was kind of interesting, because, like, yeah, she's my least favorite person in this entire novel. I thought it was kind of funny, because she was, like, talking. She gets this letter from Olivia, and then she literally said to herself, I don't really know anyone in this neighborhood. She just currently moved there. Her kids are in university. Like, all of her kids are in university or living their own life.
And her husband died.
And she's like, just moved here, fresh start, trying to build, like, friendships, get to know people. Hasn't really gone that far in that. And she gets this letter saying that she's been broken into, and then she, like, takes... She only has one person that she's actually talked to, and that's her actual neighbor, right. Zoe. And then she basically, from there, gets so stuck on this that she's like, well, now I have to go around to everyone and tell them in her entire block, plus other block,
oh my God, yeah,
that she was broken into, and finding out who else got broken into, because she's like, well, clearly this kid has some psychological issues, and clearly they did not just break into two houses.
Oh, yeah, right, because she only says there's two in them.
Yeah, and, like, all this stuff, and then she, like, I think it's really funny how she goes around to every fucking person's house, and then, like, Olivia's like, I'm trying not to give her anything, and then basically gives herself away. And... yeah, I think it's funny. It's kind of like, you're not going to make any friends by going around doing that. Because no one's really going to want to, like, either admit that they got broken into. They either didn't, and they were like, well, like, why? Or why aren't you going to the police instead of going around here? Because then the police can go around asking.
Yeah.
I thought it was a really weird approach.
It is. She's, like, came in too hot, almost.
Way too hot.
Yeah. Just like.
But it's like, she, I don't know. It's like she got sunk on the mystery of everything.
Yeah. And she's just like, has nothing else to do. So.
Yeah.
And ultimately, that's how she died.
Yeah. She made herself such a
popular person
that everyone was talking about the fact that she kept going around and she went to the wrong person's house.
Yep.
Glinda. Oh, Glinda.
Yikes.
But you kind of wonder, so I always wondered, because maybe I needed to go back and reread the beginning of the book when Glinda was talking to Olivia.
Oh, yeah.
It sounded like Alex started drinking before he went and killed Amanda.
Yeah, but, and it almost, I think he just, like, parties too much, and I don't think he drank because of Amanda, I think, but they were worried that because he still went out and partied that he was going to say something.
Yeah, and, like, because, like, they always said, they kind of stipulated that he drank because him and his dad had, like, issues.
Oh, I missed that part.
Like, not because that's why he was drinking, but it sounded like that him and his dad were, like, always at odds.
Okay, yeah.
And, like... And
him finding out about Amanda, I'm sure, didn't help things.
Exactly, and, like... how him drinking that much and all that stuff was kind of like a sip and end of all that.
Yeah, yeah.
And then, yeah, Glinda was worried. And then that he was going to say something when he was too drunk.
Right.
Because Damn, it sounded like you drink a lot.
I know. Well, I'm like, whoa, okay.
Just randomly. It's like, I don't even remember drinking that much when I was 16. Okay, I did not drink that much when I was 16.
Not randomly, anyway.
It's just like, I did drink that much when I was 16.
Not that much, but...
I grew up in a parent household that's like, okay, you can drink a little bit.
Oh, yeah. Same.
And then when I was 17 was when I got drunk. Had my mom drive me and take me home. She's probably like, Kristen, stop saying that.
You're like, oh my God.
No. And I'm like, I'll tell everyone how cool my parents are.
There you go.
But yeah, no, like, I don't know. How would you feel if, how would you feel if you were Alex in that situation? Would you do the same thing? Well, I'm not saying the exact same thing.
Well, I wouldn't kill
someone. But like, but like, would you have, maybe not to the point that you kill someone, but like have...
Like confront them?
Yeah.
No.
Or confront the person.
I'd confront my dad if I'd known, but I wouldn't. No.
No?
Yeah.
I'd agree. I would like probably like find it at the cabin.
Yeah.
And then see who it was and then drive away pissed off.
Oh, right, because he didn't know.
That's, yeah.
Yeah.
And then wait until he got home and then saw his dad next.
Yeah.
And then I would lay into my
dad.
That's
fair. I would like definitely follow and like see and be like spying on them. But I would never, I don't think, confront the person.
I think that would be...
Shit.
I think it'd be different to confront... I would confront the person if my dad or mom, doesn't matter, if my parent was in the room too. I'd confront both of them at the same time.
Oh, gotcha, yeah.
But if it was just that person and they didn't see me and I followed them there, then I'd go and confront my parent first about that person.
Agreed, yeah.
I would not commit murder.
I feel like I would tell the other person, the other parent too.
I probably would too. I'm also like one of those people that's like, oh, I've dreamt about this before.
God, same.
And like, I get very pissed off. Like I haven't killed the person in my dreams, but I've gone really pissed off at the person that interfered with my parents. And things got violent.
Violent.
Not to the point we murdered, but like things were thrown in the room.
Ah, gotcha.
Not at the person, but around.
Yes, the person. Fair.
And threats were happening.
You got threatening. I see. I feel ya.
Not really good at change, but I am with certain change. But who is good with that kind of change anyways, right?
Yeah.
So it's kind of like one of those things that I guess is a normal thing that maybe some kids dream about, the fact that that might happen to their parents. I don't know. Maybe it's some of the books I've read that's had that in it.
Or you're, like, worried and your subconscious just, like, takes over.
Yeah. Because, like, I don't know. Like, I've never really been worried about my parents' relationship ever. But I do read a lot of books that have a lot of, like, there have been divorces and shit like that happening in it. So maybe I, like, cross-reference
it. Gives you an overactive imagination.
Overactive dream imagination. That's for
sure.
There you go. But, yeah, like... I would definitely confront the person that was cheating in my, like, out of my parents first. Yeah. And then I'd probably get to the person that was cheating on them at some point.
Yeah, fair.
Give them my 2 cents.
Scream, yell, punch.
Scream, yell, punch. You never know.
Not kill, but, you know.
Not kill. But you can, I think you can get justified for punching someone.
Yeah, agreed.
In that situation. I feel like it's frowned upon. Because it's technically assault.
Charged for assault, yeah.
Technically it's assault, but technically they assaulted your parents' marriage. So I'm like, hey.
Ooh, throw that at the judge. See what happens.
Yeah, well, I hope it never happens.
They assaulted my parents' marriage. They started it. Yes. Can I be there for that?
Hopefully they never
happens. I think I would be that person in the courtroom just burst out laughing. Everyone's quiet. I'd be like, bah!
Everyone else would be like, everyone looks at me. Like, seriously, she yeah. took that thing, and then you're like lobbing your head off, and everyone's like, why is she laughing?
That'd be great. Let's write a movie script around that. Just that one joke.
Okay, let's do it.
That's we're our right new adventure. This is Bucks take a film. Become a film.
Just for this one scene. This is critical to the entire thing.
We write
thing.
Around it. And then
we start with this one part. And then we build off of it. We go just, forward
comes,
and backwards.
It comes out of nowhere. But, you know, it's the best part of the movie.
Oh, my God. Oh, that'd be so fucking hilarious.
Agreed. Agreed.
But, I don't know. Overall, I thought it was, like, a really good book.
Yes.
You can't go wrong with it. I think it's...
It's a good domestic thriller.
Yeah, and I think for someone that's not a like, maybe not huge into reading as we are and stuff like that, I think it's a good start.
Mm-hmm.
Or, like, a good author to go into.
Yeah.
Because, like, yeah, it's a little confusing with all the different people, like, in this specific book, because I haven't read any of the others. Excuse
me. Her other ones don't have that many characters. No? This is for sure, like...
So, like, with herself writing everything, and I think that she's a good recommendation yeah. for everyone, because, like, not just because she's Canadian, because, you know, we like Canadian authors, but, like, I think she's a good psychological thriller yeah. writer.
And she just isn't, like, the typical, like, cookie-cutter type. Like, each one of her books is very different and very, like, twisty, which is good.
Yeah. This one was, like, as much as I recommend it, I probably wouldn't recommend it to someone that maybe doesn't read a lot, because that is a lot of different characters to kind of get your head around.
Yeah.
And I wonder if you're not really used to reading kind of books like that.
That's
or
true.
Just reading a lot in general. You kind of get used to remembering shit that you might be a little overwhelmed with just the amount of characters that are thrown at you. It feels like in the first couple of chapters before you kind of really get into it.
Yeah. Or I would recommend if you are going to read it, maybe listen to it as an audiobook, because the woman that does the audiobook does a really good job of making, like, you can tell who the character is from her voice changing. She does a really good job of, like, making you see Raleigh and Adam as, like, two younger people, and then, like, the moms versus the dads versus, like, Pierce has more of, like, this, like, uppity voice, and, like, she does a really good job of, like, distinguishing each character so that I didn't really get too confused, because I know you said in the, like, novel, yeah. it's, like, it's not, like, broken up where it's, like, normally in thrillers you'll see, like, each chapter is one person's view versus, like, every paragraph could be a different person's view.
Yeah, like, literally there was this one point where it went from, like, I don't remember specifically who, but it went from one person who had, like, over a page worth to, like, four or five sentences, like, literally, like, a small, small yeah. paragraph, maybe not even five, like, three or four sentences, to then someone else.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like, and you don't know who it is until you're, like, a sentence in.
Yeah, yeah.
Or just by what they're talking about, you're like, okay, that's who, this yeah. person. But, like, it jumps so much, and, like, certain parts are just so small that you're like, wait, what?
Yeah, fair.
So it is a little harder, yeah, I would agree, to read the actual physical book for this case. For the fact that she does not distinguish each. Clearly who each person
right.
is when
yeah.
you're reading it. So, like, because, yeah. like, with the cops, it's a little easier because they, like, talk about yeah, the other person a little bit more. Lot, yeah. So you're like, oh, okay, this person and not that person. But, yeah, no. Otherwise, it's kind of confusing.
Yeah, fair.
The other parents and stuff like that. So let's get back to the voices. Are you fucking kidding me?
The voices.
So it was one lady doing the voices for all
oh,
of
yeah.
them?
Yeah. Because I have read, like, books where it's been, like, two people. One reads for the males. Like, the one we read about the podcast.
Yeah.
It was always, like, a male and a female reading yeah. for the male and the female. Versus yeah. this was one woman reading for all of them. But she did a really good job of, like, obviously there was no accents, but, like, she did a good job. Like, Pierce had a distinguishable voice that was, like, it made me hate him more because it was very just like, oh, this is what's happening. And you just like wanted to punch him. And then like, but Raleigh and Adam both had like, more Raleigh because you don't really hear Adam too much at the beginning. Had a very like younger sounding voice. So you're like, oh yeah, this is Raleigh as a teenager. The women, like Olivia was a little bit more proper versus Glenda was a bit more like proper, but like more like, I don't even know. Just kind of like at first, cause you don't think anything of her at the beginning. She's just more concerned. She was just like the concerned friend. Versus Carmen is like super annoying and she's just like, someone broke into my house. I'm just checking on everyone else's house. And you can just like the reader did a good
tightly
job.
Tightly wound
person. Yes, there you go. Yeah.
Tightly wound.
Yes. It was just like you could, and then you got to the point where it was like, even if you had missed like who Sherry puts, like indicates in the paragraph as who's talking, you can pick it up from the voice characteristics of the reader.
It'd be interesting to listen to this for the specific fact that it's a female doing everyone's voice, and there's a decent amount of male characters in this, and different ages too, to see like the distinctiveness. So
that's kind of crazy. Like
I'd be intrigued with that.
Goes into it, yeah. Like the three men, like Paul, Keith, and Larry. Larry and Keith are pretty similar because I think Larry was more like the like timid, like, oh no, I've been caught one. Versus Paul was very stern and very like adamant, like, I didn't do this. Like
I'll help you, but I didn't do it.
And then Keith was more like really an afterthought. And then him and Larry, though, sounded more similar than a lot of the other characters. But
well, because they had like, more Keith specifically, he's committed to going to the cabin and everything, the crime scene. So
he's just very like, yeah, this is how, oh shit.
Yeah. Fair enough. Well, we're going to take a quick break and then we're going to come back with the third bottle of wine.
Yes. BRB.
Hey guys, so we're back and we're smelling and tasting the Pinot Noir. Like we said before. Like I said before, and oddly enough, it's the one from Oregon. We're not really sure.
Oh, yeah, right. The only one.
Yeah, it's the vintage one. It says it's blended and bottled by Joseph Carp. But it's the Family Reserve, Oregon. So it does say it was done in Oregon. The back does say, you know, let's see where it makes the difference. Okay.
What?
The first sentence is the same as the other ones. So... I'll continue on. So, Oregon is one of the best wine regions in the world for growing Pinot Noir or grapes. I did not know that. Long cool growing season allows grapes to ripen, slowly producing elegant wines of exceptional balance. The Oregon Family Reserve Pinot Noir offers a sense of strawberry, cherry, and pomegranate, supported by soft tannins. My Family Reserve wines are bold and approachable, just like my dad, Josh.
Jesus.
Sorry, I'm using my flashlight on my phone. Slash dropped it on myself. You can go first.
One moment, sorry.
She's like, let me re-smell it. And taste it.
I smell the cherry, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Not a lot of the strawberry. This could be me just BSing, but I feel like I smell the pomegranate a bit, which is something I usually never smell. But when you taste it, it's lighter than the red blend. I think even looking at it, it's a bit lighter than your red blend was and just, like, overall look.
Yes, I agree with that.
But it's... I mean, it's not bad. I like the red blend, I think, more than the Pinot. But, definitely tasting a bit of the strawberry just on the tip of your tongue. Very similar to the red blend and the rosé, where I'm tasting a lot more of the strawberry, but I don't smell it for sure. Yeah.
I think I agree with the smelling of the, you know, I do smell the pomegranate because I love pomegranate mojitos. So I'm used to smelling it.
So she smells it.
Yeah. And I actually smell the cherry. I agree. I don't really smell so much of the strawberry, but when you take a very light, small sip, you can taste the strawberry. Like, I felt like I could taste it with this one,
yeah,
the red blend. And the cherry and the pomegranate kind of like end the taste with it. It is lighter than the other one, like the red blend, but it is, I think it's okay Pinot Noir. I personally am just starting to like Pinot Noirs more after the New Zealand trip.
Oh, fair.
But it's definitely not one of my faves. If you like Pinot Noirs that are like not super expensive, I recommend it.
Yeah.
If you really, if you, I don't know, Pinot Noir people are different breeds, so I don't know.
I recommend it. Someone who like doesn't hate Pinot Noir, I would say like it's not bad. It mentioned when Kristen was reading like lighter tannins or softer, I think was the word. Mm-hmm. It's definitely like quite a smooth Pinot Noir, so it's not super like, I find sometimes they burn a little bit in the back of my throat.
Yeah.
This one's just, it goes down really smooth. Like, I wouldn't, it's not my favorite, but it's not my least favorite, so I would put it somewhere in the middle, 6 or 6.
Yeah, I'd give it a 6. I personally probably wouldn't buy it on my own if I was having like a house party or whatever.
Don't like Pinot Noir.
Yeah, like I'd buy for other people to maybe drink. Let's be honest, I'm not gonna buy it for someone else. But I recommend it.
Fair.
Definitely like the red blend more.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I feel you.
Anything left that you wanna add for the book?
No.
No.
Buy it. It's good. Like, I really enjoy her book, so I have nothing but great things to say about Shirley LaPanna. Pick it up at a local Indigo Chapters, Barnes & Noble. I don't know.
Agreed. I don't really have much more to add either. I think we said enough about it. We both say buy it.
And Sherry, for listening, send us the arc of your next book.
Mm-hmm.
Please.
I agree full heartedly on that. But to end this episode off, rate, review, subscribe, follow us on boozeandbooks.podcast. Our personal ones, lind.sed, L-N-I-D.
L-I-N-D.
Sorry, L-I-N-D dot S-A-I-D. And kristen.shu. KRISTEN dot SHEW, or follow or email us at
boozeandbooks@gmail.com. I'm not going to F this up this time. BOOZEANDBOOKS@gmail.com.
Look at that.
Sorry, guys, for the noises.
It's just her phone on her
watch.
Watch.
So. My phone on my watch.
My phone on our watch. But yes, rate, review, subscribe. We'd like to hear from you guys. Any feedback, any reviews, any wine suggestions, alcohol suggestions, book suggestions, anything in general. We love to hear from you. Yes. But we will talk to you guys next time.
Bye. Bye.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.